Well, welcome back to 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 6, and we're going to start back at verse 9 and read verses 9 and 10 together. Does that sound good? All right, very good. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God.
Now, if you think about that, what is the kingdom of God? We're talking about how God rules, right? God rules with integrity. God rules with righteousness. And so how are you going to be? What he's basically saying is unrighteous people are not going to be ruled by God. It's pretty basic. You understand? You think about it just in the natural world today. Are the unrighteous people ruled by God, or are they dominated by their sin? Obviously, they're dominated by their sin, right? Well, if you're dominated by it here, you're going to be dominated by it there. And so you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's where God rules you. Okay? Now, there's so much to look at. I'm seeing this in about everything I'm looking at right now. Is the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. To where the flesh is hostile toward God, according to Romans, the 8th chapter. It's an enemy of God. And so there's absolutely no way that you can walk according to the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and please God. Now, we can look at the gross sins, if we want to call it that. Or we can look at it as just ignoring God while you're doing everything else, taking care of business. Like the 4th chapter of Mark, you know, the seed sown among the thorns. What it does, you get caught up in everyday life and it chokes the word. If you get caught up in everyday life's ruling you. And if everyday life's ruling you, God's kingdom's not ruling you. You with me? Now here, he's just talking about he's dealing with pretty gross sins. Mm-hmm. But obviously he didn't list everything that could have been listed, but he's mm-hmm. given us a general idea. Bottom line, if flesh is ruling, God isn't. If flesh is ruling, God isn't. Remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can look at our own personal lives and examine our own hearts. What has my attention, the outward man or the inward man? Which one is really in control of my life? I'm talking about in control of my life. Are you with me?
Hmm.
That's the kingdom that's going to be ruling. Okay?
Okay. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
And he's just saying here, you know, you guys that I'm writing to, you were involved in these things yourself. Some of you were fall right in this category, but he says you're washed. You've been set apart. What set you apart? This one uses the word sanctify. What set you apart? Jesus Christ. You understand? Nature of Adam, nature of God. Which one do you follow? When you come out of sin, you come out of the nature, you leave the nature of Adam to follow the nature of God. The world does it this way. When I talk about the nature of Adam, I'm just talking about simply what the flesh gravitates toward. From the time a child is old enough to know anything, he starts doing wrong. You have to teach a child to do good. Well, The reason for that is because we were born in sin, and so the physical man, and when I say the physical man, actually that's sort of a neutral zone, but the nature, Adam's vying for the physical man to do what he wants, God's vying for the physical man to do what God wants done, okay? And so from the time that child is old enough, you have to train that child not to submit to this dominion, but to submit to this dominion, to stay submitted to God. Resist the devil. You have to. That's what you're doing when you're actually rearing your children, disciplining your children. You're teaching them to resist the devil. And if you get this, it's like Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from that training. It doesn't say he won't go out here and do some stuff, but I'll guarantee you the training will stay with him. All the time, the training will stay with him. And so we do that in the natural. Well, we do that with the spirit, a person that's just born again. Mm-hmm. They need to be trained as well. And that's why we put so much emphasis on the written word of God, getting the word of God in you. You know, God told Moses to tell them, write it on your doorposts, put it on your gates, put it before your eyes, it's frontly before your eyes. Talk about it when you get up. Talk about it when you sit down. Talk about it when you go by the way. Why is that? So God will rule. Because if God's not ruling, I promise you by default, Satan will be ruling either directly or indirectly. One or the other. And so if the flesh is doing its thing, Satan's ruling. You with me? But when the flesh is put under subjection and the body is being used to do God's thing, then the kingdom of God's ruling. And he goes on and talks about the body a little later on being the temple of God. But before one's born again, in many cases, it's just the house of the devil. Okay?
Okay. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must become a slave to anything.
Now, this is not saying that it's lawful for you to murder and commit adultery mm-hmm. and all the stuff and steal and all this type of stuff. That's not what he's saying. You have to keep the whole context together here. It's permissible for me to do whatever, but not profitable. All things are not profitable for me. Okay? Now, then he makes this statement, I will not let anything control me.
Mm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that with your will, you can do anything you want to? Right? But how many of you know you shouldn't do everything your flesh wants to do? Because it'll get you in trouble. You understand? With man and God. And so what he's saying is, I'm not going to be under the control of anything other than the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God, if something else is in control of you, the kingdom of God's not. Now, we have a liberty once we're born again. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the bondage of religion. But too many people are letting their liberty bind them. You understand? When you have to do what you want to do, it's a bondage to you. When you can't consider other people and consider the conscience of other people, then your liberty becomes a bondage to you. It's in control of you.
Mm.
And this is why you see people get out of the ditch on this side of the road and go in the ditch on the other side of the road. And there's a middle of the road. There's a balance in all this. We understand things are permissible, but everything's not profitable. You know, you talk about how eating meat sacrificed mm-hmm. to idols. Well, if it doesn't violate your conscience, that's permissible. You understand? But if it's violating somebody else's conscience, then that's not profitable. And if you can't honor the other person, then your liberty's controlling you. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Life's not about us. It's about others. In other words, life's not about me. I can't live my life just looking at me. I have to take in consideration those who are around me. There are things that I can do, that things that I've learned over the years that 30 years ago I couldn't do because of the religious training that I had. It would have violated my conscience. But after seeing the Word of God and learning the Word of God, there's things that I can do now, but I don't do it because it will violate somebody else's conscience. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone. That makes sense to you? Okay.
You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies.
You understand, you can make your case. Well, you know, the belly was made for food. We're supposed to eat food. We have to eat food to survive. Food for the belly for food. But all that stuff's going to decay. It's going to all go. That's not where your attention's supposed to be. But then he puts this in, your body wasn't made for fornication. So there is no excuse when it comes to that. Okay? Now here again, we're going to find out that the body's the temple of God. And so when whatever we're doing with the body, we have to keep God in consideration. You with me? He's watching you. It'll stop you from doing a lot of things. Or it might motivate you to do things you should be doing. You understand? Okay.
And God will raise us from the dead by His power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead.
And God has both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by His own power. There are people right now, evangelicals, that are teaching that the body is not the physical resurrection of the body. I can't hardly comprehend it. Just talking to someone yesterday, and it's hard for me to comprehend that. I mean, you've got to just overlook scriptures. God raised the Lord up. He's going to raise us up. He's talking about the body. Did the body of Jesus not come out of the sepulcher? And our body's coming out of the ground. That's a fact. Whether you believe it or not, it's not going to stop it from happening. Okay? I take comfort in the fact that God can't lie. The Word of God says that there's a resurrection, there's going to be a resurrection. When He says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, I just believe that's going to happen because God said so. Whether you can figure it out or not, it doesn't matter. You can't reason that. I heard something yesterday that was a person trying to refute that. Gave an illustration that was much crazier than that. Philosophers. Okay, I won't go there.
Okay. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never.
Go ahead and read.
And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one.
Now I want you to hear this. People use that Genesis 2:24 and the two shall become one flesh. I've had people in counseling talk about the husband and wife. Well, we're one, and tell them about this. And then I said, well, look in the mirror and see how many people you see. They don't even understand what that scripture says. And this right here, if this doesn't reveal it, I don't know what will. The two become one flesh in intercourse. So he who joins himself to a harlot becomes one flesh with a harlot. So do I take the temple of God and join it to a prostitute? Well, that's the obvious answer. No. Okay? And he uses that right there. He says the two will become one flesh. You with me? So anytime you hear people talking about the two becoming one flesh, that is just simply talking about intercourse. Because you're still two independent people, male and female. You understand? You look different. You think different. Your anatomy is different. Right? Okay. But you're still two people. Okay? You want to add to that?
No, sir.
Okay.
But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Now, look at the contrast here. Here he's talking about the body. Now he's talking about the spirit. Okay? You join to the Lord as one spirit. It's not the physical man joins to the Lord. The physical man is just simply the house that the Lord can work through. But what's the Lord joined to? The Lord's not joined to a body of sin. The Lord's not joined to corruption and mortality. The Lord's joined to life. You follow me? And so then that spirit, we become one with the Spirit of God. And through that union with the Spirit, we have the ability to produce fruit. Through the Spirit. Versus works of the flesh. You follow me? When you're united with the world, you're going to produce the works of the flesh. When you're united with the kingdom of God, with the Spirit of God, you produce the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? I'm telling you, this is a spiritual walk, and most churches, most people in churches are walking by the flesh, not by the Spirit of God. Now, there's more to walking in the Spirit and operating in gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about living in the Spirit. Okay?
Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body.
So he said run from it. Run from it because it affects the body. Your body is much involved in the sexual sins. Okay? I mean, that's pretty common sense of an adult that thinks clearly anyway. Okay?
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for okay. God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body.
Okay, that's pretty self-explanatory. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, if you've been filled with the Spirit of God, then where does He live? He lives right here. In other words, this is the house for Him to minister through.
me see the power. Sometimes if the power gets, we're okay.
Is that power strip on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about behind you? Okay, this one's up. This is actually feeding off of this power strip right here. Okay. Did the computer go off? Or the Wi-Fi drop? So you're showing an internet connection over there. Let me squeeze through here.
Hey, would we have it on the SD card?
You have it now. Somebody have a cell phone. How about see if we have Wi-Fi in here right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it showing it?
I don't think it's doing. Is it doing on Polystone? It's not doing. Okay. Yeah, it's not working. Internet's out.
Pardon?
All internet's out, not just computers.
The internet's out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Pardon? That's what we'll have today. Make sure the SD card's got room on it. Plenty. Okay.
Hang on just a minute. What's going to best help you? Would you like me to reread that last verse again?
Whenever, let's go back to where it dropped. Where did it drop?
Right here.
You guys know.
Right at, we were at 20. We were just talking about you were bought with a high price.
Just, let's go back, I think, and probably read 19.
19. Okay.
And 20.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. We're going to go to a quarter till. Okay. All right. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to reread verses 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body.
Okay, that body is talking about the physical man. That's the Greek word soma. Okay, and so this right here was bought. Just like your spirit has been bought. Okay, and because God bought it because he needs it here on earth. Okay, and so the Holy Spirit in us lives in this body now to express himself through this body, through gifts of the Spirit, through fruit of the Spirit. You follow me? And so it's an avenue to where God can express himself in earth. And so not only has our bodies been bought, but also our spirits that live in our bodies, okay? And so the spirit man is housing the Spirit of God, and we're in this body so God can have representation on earth. That makes sense to you. And so then the temple is a place of worship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's worship should be taking place right here. Not what they do in front of a church and call it worship. You follow me? I'm not saying that none of it couldn't be. I'm just saying most of it isn't. Okay? It's just entertainment and all this type of thing. Worship is in spirit. John 4. God seeking true worshipers. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. You don't touch God physically. You touch God spiritually. Okay? But this is the house of God for him to express himself through. That's why he says, glorify God. Make him glorious, I can say it that way. Make God glorious in your body as well as your spirit. In other words, the total man is to be rendering glory to God, giving honor to God. The total man is to be portraying God right here in earth. You with me? And this is what he's telling. He's writing this to the church, which applies to us. We're part of the church, but this was specifically to Corinth. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, here's the thing, which are the Lord's. Now, that tells me that I've been bought. We know we've been bought with the blood of Jesus, okay? Then if I am bought, somebody owns me. And so if somebody owns me, that makes me a slave, right? And the owner is the master, right? So then that would mean that Jesus, who bought me with his blood, is the master, and I'm the slave. That's why Paul introduced himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. Peter says a slave of Jesus Christ. These apostles recognized they had a master. Excuse me, not an employer, a master, which made them slaves of Jesus Christ. But this is not a hard taskmaster, you understand. This is a loving master. This is a master that doesn't take advantage of you, but looks out after your best interest. When you get a master like that, then give him honor. Glorify him. You with me? Okay. I think you get the picture of all that, all right?
Chapter 7. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations.
You know, actually, this translation says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And when you look at that up in the Greek, it says attach himself to attach oneself. Okay? And so this translation she's read is talking about sexual relations, which is very accurate. But I want you to understand what he's saying. It's good for a man not to do that, but not everyone has that gift of celibacy. Okay?
Okay. That because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband.
And so, if you're married, that's how you avoid the fornication. That's how you avoid illicit sex, okay? Now, let me say this. It's not that God's against marriage. That's how the earth got populated. You follow me? And so the natural thing for a human being is marriage. God told Adam to fill the earth. After the flood, God told Noah to fill the earth. Okay? So that's the normal thing. But there are exceptions to where it is called a gift of celibacy. Jesus himself says, not everyone has the gift. Some are eunuchs. They're born that way. Some, man made them that way. And then some have chosen to give themselves totally over to God, inward and outward. Okay? That's a gift. Paul had chosen to do that. You with me? Okay. But he says to avoid fornication, get married. Married. Legal. Okay.
Okay. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs.
Now, that's pretty self-explanatory, but you'd be surprised if you sit in a few counseling sessions at things that go on in marital relations. What he says is, for the husband, your body is no longer yours exclusively. Your wife has her rights as a wife in a marital relationship. He's talking about sexual rights, okay? And he tells the woman the same thing. Your husband has sexual rights to the body. That was the agreement of marriage. You understand? Otherwise, why get married? I'm not saying live together. Okay? And so you have to stay in the context and understand what he's saying is don't bring a reproach against God. And so marriage is a way you don't bring a reproach against God. You're actually fulfilling what God says. You're being fruitful and multiply, or you should be. Being fruitful and multiply, okay? To fill the earth with a godly seed. And that's what marriage is about. When people living together outside of wedlock, it's not a godly seed they're producing. You follow me? No, he won't say godly seed. And the godly seed is one that agrees with the Word of God. So marriage agrees with the Word of God. What constitutes a marriage? Culture determines that. Laws of the land determine what constitutes a marriage. Okay? And I will tell you this to refute the things that I've heard for many years. In the state of North Carolina, there is no such thing as common law marriage. You can go look it up legally. Believe me, I have. Okay? If you live with somebody 20 years, you're still not married. Not by the laws of this state. Okay? There is a marriage license that you purchase, and then there is a legal marriage with witnesses that goes to the state of North Carolina that's registered. That's what constitutes the marriage. Okay? That's what God recognizes. In other cultures, it's just simply that some of them buy their wives, you know, the dowry and all this. They buy the part. I had a guy to send me a letter wanting me to give him money so he could buy a wife. $2,000. Yeah. So, I didn't send it, okay. But in that culture, that person gives that dowry, and then the consummation of that marriage may simply, like with Isaac, he took Rebekah to his mother's tent, and that consummated the marriage. That was the legal thing according to the culture of the land. But you don't do that here, because that is not the culture of the land. And so God doesn't honor that. You follow me? Okay.
Okay. Might be a good place to stop.
Thank you.